Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
You bathe, right? And those dishes and laundry, you wash them, right? If you don't worry. Otherwise, you might want to listen. Your family is exposed to harsh chemicals daily. Chlorides, ethanols, sulfates. They're used in paint thinner, solvents, fuel additives. You'll find those chemical cocktails and more in everyday detergents and shampoo. Does that bother you? It bothers the folks at Calbend Pure Soaps. For 58 years, they've produced all-natural, earth-friendly soaps and household cleaners. No animal testing, no chemicals, no dye, no antibacterials. Just safe, natural plant extracts like extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. I don't use anything but triple concentrated Calbend Pure Soaps. What are you waiting for? Call them 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Nothing to lose but the chemicals. 1-800-340-7091 or visit CalbendPureSoap.com.
Tonight, and to start off the program tonight, I want to talk about something that came up just yesterday in my office, our headquarters back in Idaho, and we're talking about those three boxes that the Founding Fathers gave us to stop tyrannical government. One was the voting box, which we won't spend too much time on here, but remember, folks, if you allow them to do electronic voting and you have no receipt of how you voted, you've lost it. It's going to be total fraud, and you can't allow that. You have to have hand counts, and so don't let them do that to you. And so, and then, of course, you have to get educated at voting time and educate others, because the controlled media is going to give you, like I say, usually 2 or 3 choices, and you can choose any of them, and they're totally the same. They work for the same people. They're controlled by the same international entities, and their goals are going to be identical. So the voting box is one of the important boxes that we need to recover and protect, because they're trying to set up computer voting where they don't have to ever worry about your votes again. They can push a button, and whoever they want to win wins. But the next box, okay, what is the next box? Do you recall? The next box is the jury box. That's right, the jury box. And the jury box is very important, because even today, as corrupt as the judiciary is, and all of these ambulance chasers that decided they wanted to become judges have moved up, as long as they've proven themselves to be completely corrupt, they move up to their judgeships. Now, I shouldn't say a blanket statement like that, because there are still some good judges out there. We know some of them. We truly do. And we've had association with a number of them through our two police and military associations. So not all judges are that way, but I can guarantee you that if a judge does not prove that he or she will totally protect the system from the people, they will not get promoted up very high in the system. They will not get promoted up to judges in the appeals courts, and judges in the Supreme Court certainly are sold out and have been for years and years, because like they say in the Skull and Bones that Bush is a member of, and in the gangs, you have to make your bones. You have to make your bones. You have to prove you're totally corrupt and you'll totally do anything. And we use the phrase over here probably too often, but we say you have to have proved that you're willing to shoot your mother for a nickel and take bets on which way she'd fall before you're promoted up through those high judgeships. And so don't count on getting justice once you get up that high. You're going to get what the politics dictate. And the political hacks who are puppets for the internationalists decide the type of justice you're going to have. And so, but it came up in our office in our area of Idaho once again this week that some people were asked to go and serve on the juries. Have you been asked to go serve on the juries, folks? Have you? And did you try to get out of it? Bad doobie. Bad doobie. If you said, I don't want to serve on a jury, I'm getting out of here. Hey, my mother's pregnant. I've got to go help her deliver her baby, or what, you know, whatever excuse you use. My lizard is drowning. I have to go rescue it. Or, you know, all the excuses that people use out there for getting out of jury duty. This is not good, folks. It's not good. And we've got a perfect example tonight we're going to share with you. Okay, a good friend of mine is on the line right now. Carol is on the line, and she lives up in the area of Idaho County, Idaho. And recently, real recently, she was invited to jury duty. And so let's get with Carol, see if Carol's on the line now, and bring Carol in and have her give us a little information. And we'll discuss jury duty a little bit tonight. And then we will, before the end of the program, discuss the final box. And I think you know what that final box is the founders gave us that we were supposed to keep and save until both the other boxes don't work, voting box and the jury box. So let's go to Carol right now. I believe she's on the phone. Carol, are you there?
I'm here, Jack.
Good to have you on the phone, my dear.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, it's good that we have the opportunity to talk about jury duty once in a while, because it's so vitally important, is it not?
It certainly is. It's true. I was one of several of our friends, even, that was called to serve on a little case this week. We served Tuesday. Monday was the holiday. We served Tuesday and finished about 6 p.m. here on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was a small little case, perhaps not any earth-shaking thing, but I did not call in. I didn't want to chat with you so much about the case, although we will a little. My major reason for wanting to talk with you was about some of the things that I noted going on in the operation of the system, the court system itself.
Okay.
And I first want to say that the judge who presided in this little case is a good man. Jack, you know Judge Bradbury.
Oh, certainly. Wonderful.
He's probably
judge.
one of the judges you were thinking about a minute
That's
ago when
true.
You said you know some good ones.
Absolutely true.
That means
that he won't be promoted up much higher than where he's at right now. I'm sorry.
I don't know, but I personally voted for Judge Bradbury, and you could not find a more kindly man, in terms of the way he treated the prospective jurors and the way he explained everything. And to give you an indication, too, it's interesting, if I got the numbers right, that he told us that in the time that he has been on the bench, which I believe was just a year ago last November, less than 2 years, anyway, he has presided over 26 jury trials as compared with only three, if I got these numbers right, somebody could correct me, three per year in the administration prior to his.
See.
So in other words, he is giving the people their due in court.
Okay, what you're saying, I think you just said there, is plea bargaining is the thing that's in. In other words, you plead out these criminals, get them back out on the street, or give them a couple years and let them back out, mm-hmm. instead of going to jury trials. And so if Judge Bradbury's doing more jury trials than
Any
the
more.
Other judges before, that's
yes.
good.
It is
the
good.
The plea bargain system is
it
absolutely
is
destroying
yes.
our system today.
And I appreciated the young man, just a 21-year-old, that I'll tell you a little bit about later, but I appreciated the fact that he held firm to his not guilty plea and demanded a jury trial.
Very
and
good.
So, albeit it was a trial paid for by the taxpayers, he had a court-appointed attorney, but that's beside the point. He did get his day in court, and I was happy to see that.
Very good.
The first thing that I want to mention about the system and the operation of the system is that there perhaps were 50 people in the courtroom that is made up mostly of prospective jurors, the jury pool, and then, of course, the defendant was there and the attorneys and the judge. But one of the very first things that the judge said when he was questioning the prospective jurors was, "Is there anyone here who is not a U.S. citizen?" And, of course, that's some people think that's an inane question and nothing to comment about. But my antenna went up, of course, and I wanted to raise my hand and say, "Your Honor, I'm not a U.S. citizen," as some listeners will understand.
Right.
But I did not. I refrained because I wanted to serve on this case. And I was quite sure that if I said, "No, Your Honor, I'm not," he would say, "Well, what nation are you from? And I would say, "Well, I'm an American." And then he would say, "Well, what does that mean?" And I would say, "Well, you know, U.S. citizen means that you were given your citizenship by privilege, by gift of the U.S. government after the 14th Amendment, or when the 14th Amendment was." See what I mean? I let that go by.
Good.
But that was one thing, though. It's very interesting that they do ask that question very pointedly.
Yes.
Okay. Then when we, then they began to choose 23 jurors. And I was one of those, but here's what I want to say, that when he let the others go, he chose 23, or I should say out of a hat, they drew 23 names out of the more or less 50 people. And then here's the part that I wanted to share with you, and it's nothing new to most of your listeners, but I think it bears stating, and that is that the judge, as good as this man is, he is serving an agenda, and he's serving a system, and here's a telltale sign. He immediately explained to the 23 of us, "If you are chosen to serve on this jury, then you must listen carefully, because I'm going to tell you that I will explain to you the law that pertains in this case.
Yeah.
And you, as a juror, if you are chosen one of 12, you are obligated, or you must, judge the case based solely on the instructions that I will give you regarding how the law applies in this
I'm
case."
I'm so sorry to hear that Judge Bradbury did that.
You see, he's serving...
Very, very sad, because
yeah,
I didn't think he would do that.
Sad is the correct...
That's not true, what he said. That's
but
not
sad is the correct word, Jack, because, as I say, I and many of our good friends here voted for this man because we knew he was the best that we had going.
He was.
It does prove to you that even they recognize, I don't care how good they are, they recognize in today's world that they are employees of the system, officers of the court, and the court rules reign supreme.
Over the people.
Yes.
Which is not supposed to be the case.
Yeah. Now, there again, Jack, I wanted so badly to raise my hand and, quote, educate, unquote, the, you know, 23 people that were plus some judges, I mean, plus some attorneys in the room. I wanted to say to them, "Your Honor, excuse me, but..." Okay, I hear the music.
Okay, hang on to that thought, Carol.
All right.
This is crisis time in America when these judges say these things to us that are not true. And we're going to get into a little more of that with Carol here. So hang on, folks. We're going to have a break, and we'll be back after this, these important messages.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend pure soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
As a juror to judge both the law and the facts, just as you said there, but I refrained because I did not expect that I would be allowed to serve as a juror if I were to say that, because I think he would have excused me. Do you agree with that?
I agree with you. They do excuse you if you don't allow the judge to actually decide the jury verdict.
Now, Jack, I have a question, because when we got in the delivery room, deliberation room, some of my confreres in there, some of the fellow jurors, said, in effect, that I had perjured myself when I kept silent, when the judge said, You must judge the case based on the law as I explain it, and nothing else that you think you know about the law, I'm paraphrasing, nothing else that you think enters in here regarding the law is going to be allowable because it's not in the purview of what I explain. And anyway, my friends and the fellow jurors said, you perjured yourself because you led us to believe that you were going to follow exactly what the judge said. And now you're not wanting to let the judge be your sole decision maker.
In other words, the judge is supposed to determine the outcome of the jury and not the jury. The judge lied to you, Carol. I mean, that's a tough term, and usually judges don't like you to use the word lied in court. You got to use all these cutesy little names, other than the word lied. But I just call it the way it is. When the judge tells you, with all the history we have documented, you know, all the cases throughout history, judges used to tell you, and that's only up to about 60 years ago, judges would tell you you had a right to nullify. You had a right to decide the law and the facts. Mm-hmm. And today they lie to you and say you don't have that right. Well, what I feel personally, if a judge gets up and lies to the people in the jury box, what kind of honor and integrity and acquiescence do we owe to the judge for allowing him to control the outcome of the jury?
Right.
By deciding he's going to tell you the law.
Right.
Well,
Jack,
we can go back to the alien sedition laws, and we can go back to the when they used to say that the blacks were non-human, and people used to nullify all the time and overturn bad law that the law used to say that blacks weren't even human.
Yeah.
And so if Judge Bradbury got up and says, now here's the law, blacks aren't human, and the juror had said to you in the room, oh, you perjured yourself, the judge says blacks aren't human, and you're not going to go along with that. Well, my goodness gracious, what dummies we are when we allow this type of tyranny to happen, and we don't stand up and do anything about it. Anyway, go right ahead and tell us what happened.
That was a major thing. Before I continue here, Jack, and I will try to be brave, it's difficult because I could talk to you for 2 or 3 hours on the experience.
This angers me, too. It really gets me upset. Yeah.
There's one thing I want to back up a tiny bit and mention the change in the swearing in, a change in the wording of the swearing in of the oath.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, as most of your listeners will know, when you are in court and you're going to be a witness, someone will swear you in and say, or in old days at least, do you swear that the testimony you are about to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So help you God, right?
That's
okay.
Right. That's
well, now they have changed it to, just slightly, but it is significant. It's changed now to, do you affirm, I have no problem with that if they want to say affirm instead of swear, do you affirm that the testimony you are about to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury? They took out, so help me God.
Yes.
And I called the court clerk today because I asked her, I wanted to ask her, do you know when that got changed and how widespread is the change? And she said when they are in their in-service training, every year, several times, they'll go for further additional training.
True.
As court clerks and what have you. And she said we are having a lot of discussion about certain witnesses. And by the way, so far in Idaho County that has made this change, so far, it is only the swearing in of witnesses, the defendant, I guess, included. Now, the jurors, when we were sworn in yesterday, we still, the oath for us still said, so help me God.
Very interesting,
and I asked her, yes, and I said, well, why the difference there? And she said, well, they told us to start with the change of the oath for the witnesses.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, she said, we probably will change it for all. And I said, why is that change made, do you think? And she said, we're getting a lot of complaints, she said, from people that don't like the word swear. And I said, well, you know, I don't have a problem with that. For me personally, affirm is okay. But I said, why are they not wanting, so help me God, at the end? I said, that's the part that concerned me. And she said, well, she says, we're getting more and more people that may be atheists or agnostics and don't like to mention God. So that's the reason.
Yeah. Well, I know, and you already knew the answer before you asked her the question.
Of course.
You'd make a good attorney, Carol.
One more step away from God, I guess.
That's right. Take God out of everything.
Yeah.
You want to hold over?
If you don't mind.
Okay.
Just a couple more
hold
points
over.
I'd like
this
to make.
This is very important information tonight. Okay, folks, we'll be right back with more of the program.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contacts experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger and, much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using right-frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Bright discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the program. You're listening to the Officer Jack McLam program on the Great Republic Broadcasting Network, and we have a great patriot, Carol, up in Idaho County, Idaho, that just served on a jury. Carol, come back on.
Thanks, Jack.
Okay.
May I just ask you quickly
yes.
That question about my friends, my co-jurors,
yeah.
They kind of scared me when they said, a couple of them said,
uh-huh.
Well, then you're in big trouble. You could be charged with perjury because
uh-huh.
you let the judge think you were going to follow his orders. What do you think? Could I have been charged?
Sure, yeah.
Do you think that would have been more honorable for me to go with that rather than back down?
Well, what we have here, Carol, is tyranny of the court. To lie to the jurors, what you have is the judges deciding the outcome of the trials. And that's exactly what's happening here. Now, some judges are much worse than just lying about jury nullification, that you have to obey the law as the law is given to you by the court. And they withhold evidence, they withhold witnesses, they manufacture evidence with the prosecutor. I mean, they're totally evil.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the way they have to be if they're going to move up through the
yeah.
court system. But okay. Just that one thing of telling the jurors that I'm going to tell you the law and all you can decide on is the person guilty of doing the crime or not. You can't consider if the law fits the case. You can't consider anything else. That's the judge making the jury determination.
Yeah, here were the elements of the case that we were told to abide by. Number one, did this happen on such and such a date, which happened to be March 4th of this year? Number two, did it happen in Idaho County? Nobody contested that. Number three, was methamphetamine found on the scene? Nobody was contesting that. Number four, did the defendant know that it was meth and know that it was there and know that it was meth? And I must tell you that, to make a long story short here, the little trial ending on the second day was deadlocked, and we voted eight to convict, and four of us voted acquittal. And I want to say that the three people who voted for acquittal with me, I had never seen before in my life. So in other words, it wasn't any cahoots. Four of us, we simply said that to our understanding, the prosecution had not completed that number four, most crucial point. Mm-hmm. They had not proven beyond a serious doubt that the defendant knew. They merely found it in the vehicle in which the defendant had been riding.
And it wasn't in his vehicle.
No, that's right. Let me just tell you a tiny bit very quickly about the case. The most disturbing part as far as the case itself goes, and this is what I deliberated about in the room there mainly, aside from the judge narrowing us down, forget that now. As far as the case itself goes, I was disturbed over the fact that here's a young man going down the street in Grangeville, whatever he was about, he and God know. Okay, so he comes to a little monument over there, a little scenic monument called a mammoth monument, the glass case where you can look at this big animal from times past, the skeleton in there. So he's pulling off, and he says he got out of his car, locked his car so that, because he says, I always lock my car. When I leave my car, I always lock it, because he's a little paranoid about theft. Well, anyway, he says, I walked over to the Mammoth Monument, and then here comes a police car. And apparently the police officer, the deputy, saw him and recognized that this is the young man for whom I heard there was an arrest warrant out. Now, the arrest warrant had to do with a previous matter where he was on, for which I was in a domestic violence little case, nothing serious, but he and his little girlfriend had had a altercation and he shook her or something, according to him. All right. Then he was on probation and he failed to report to the satisfaction of the Idaho County police authorities, right?
Yes.
So there was a bench warrant out for him. And in his side of the story, he says that he reported to his parole officer, but he forgot to report to the police. Forget all that. Okay, let's move on to the crucial point here. The young man's car is now parked near the monument in front of the deputy's car that has driven up behind him. And as soon as he saw the deputy come, the young man comes back, and he comes back to the officer's car, and the officer advises him that you are under arrest because of an outstanding warrant. He handcuffs him. And whether the keys were now in the young man's pocket or whether they were still in his hand, it was never determined. But the officer, nobody contested this, the officer pried the keys out of the young man's hand in order to search the vehicle. And it was my understanding, and Jack, you may understand differently as, your experience as being a police officer, but I thought that since the young man was under arrest for something else that had nothing to do with the vehicle, what might or might not be in the vehicle, I thought that they would have simply been within their rights to put him in the back of the squad car, take him to jail, and then send for a tow truck and impound that vehicle and then go to the court. I thought they would have to go to the court to get a warrant to search the car. And my friends were saying, no, no, no. And one of my fellow jurors said, hey, if he didn't have anything to hide, why didn't you just hand over the keys?
Oh,
this older gentleman said, if I had been stopped there, he says, I would have just told the officer, hey, I got nothing to hide. Here's my key.
Yeah.
Search my vehicle.
Yeah, well, that's leading us into the pits of hell.
That's what I believe. But anyway,
in other words, give the cops the power to do everything because, after all, we're not guilty of anything.
That is the major thing. And you see, then when the cops do search the vehicle, they found a CD case in there with lots of CDs, but tucked in one of the pockets of the CD case is a tiny little contact lens circle, a little plastic circle, a little white case, you know? And inside the case was a little inch-square plastic envelope folded up, jammed in that little circular hole, and inside the plastic envelope is, by testimony of the prosecution attorney, was 15 hundredths of a gram of methamphetamine. And so, anyway, that was what the case was about, you see. But my problem was, this case would never have come about if the officers had not burst into a locked vehicle wrongly, or perhaps I'm wrong in thinking it was incorrect for them to do that.
Well, I think if this had been 100 years ago, or less even, maybe 80 years ago, 70 years ago, you would have been correct. But the judges have weakened the Constitution and our protection, our Fourth Amendment protection. Now it's almost gone. But even, you know, 30 years ago, it was so weakened that for several reasons, the judges would allow officers to search the vehicle. One is that the officer, if a person is sitting in the vehicle, and they bring that person out of the vehicle, which doesn't fit this case, that the officers have a right to search, the judges say, around the person's seat to see if they have a weapon there for their own protection, okay? Now, that's a stretch, because if you get a person out of the car, it's really a stretch to say that that person is still a threat of grabbing a gun or a knife that could be around that seat or some instrumentality to hurt the officer. So that of course, is not true. Once they're out of the vehicle, there's no way that cop's going to let them get back in there, I don't think.
I believe that the officers, I believe that they thought that because the young man locked the vehicle, it was because he had something in there to hide.
That could be the mind of a police officer. I might think the same way. But the problem is, the problem you have is the judges decided years ago, even before I became a cop in 1976, that there is a search incident to arrest. If you arrest somebody out of a vehicle, then in order to stop several things, to stop the theft of their personal property in there, like there could be a very expensive stereo in the back seat that belongs to them. It could be that their wallet or checkbook is under the seat and it might be taken. And so the judges allowed the officers to search the interior of the vehicle, not the trunk. But because the trunk is locked up, only a person with the key. Let me finish here.
Okay.
And the judges say, hey, this is okay, because we had numerous cases where a drunk driver, and this happened to me, as I told you earlier, that drunk drivers will get out, especially, or doped up drivers will say, well, you know, it's morning, Judge, and I'm standing here before you, and I want you to let you know there was $11,000 in my glove compartment, and I want to be sure it's there when I get back to the vehicle. Well, if the officers hadn't searched the vehicle incident to the arrest, then the guy could sue the police department, because when he gets back to the car, lo and behold, the $11,000 gone that was probably never there to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back at the police officers, people do these things. Judges gave them this leeway that when you arrest a person out of a vehicle, you can search the vehicle. But in your case, Carol, where this man is standing over by a monument, and he's locked the vehicle because he doesn't want somebody jumping in and, you know, rattling through his car while he's doing something else. Mm-hmm. Very prudent to lock your vehicle. My wife's purse was stolen in Kamiyai, Idaho, right out of her car because she didn't lock her vehicle. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they have a problem. If they had found him guilty, if all of you had voted guilty and he had appealed that case, they may very well have lost it on appeal. Now, I'm not an attorney. But because they didn't go, because he was not in the vehicle, he wasn't occupying the vehicle, and the vehicle was locked up, and it was on, if it wasn't on the roadway where it was a threat to drivers driving by, if it was safely off the road,
it was.
I think that in appeals he could have won that case and have it overturned because they didn't go get a warrant to open that door based on probable cause or go over this incident of arrest search when he wasn't even in the vehicle.
It's kind of like
being in your own home,
right,
and your car is locked up outside and officers drive up and see you in the window and say, hey, come out here a minute. Give me those keys. We're going to search your car.
Yeah.
Well, it's about as lawful as this guy standing out looking at this monument, and his car's locked, and the officer's coming up and say, give me those keys. We're going to search your car because we're arresting you.
And, Jack, the biggest heartache that I suffered yesterday, and I feel it still, is I know that you were known and still are known as officer friendly. I mean, when you served as a police officer, it was because you wanted to protect people. You were tough on the guy who was really guilty because you wanted to protect people that he was offending, right?
Absolutely.
But you were kind. You were kind and respectful to any citizen that you met, and you tried to help them in any way you could. This is what I would love to see our police officers today do. The nice thing would have been to take the man to jail and then call and say, who can we call to come and get your car? Or if they have to impound it, you know what I mean? They would never have needed to know there was any scrap of meth in that car if they had just left the car alone and let a family friend drive it home, which they ended up doing anyway.
I don't mind them finding the meth as long as they do it lawfully.
Well, isn't that what I'm saying?
You know,
exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I believe probably that's what you're saying.
That's
I'm certainly not against them finding the drugs.
No,
but let's do it according to the rule book,
right,
you know?
Right.
And the Constitution instead of what all these judges are making up today, which is in violation of the Constitution many times.
Yeah.
Carol, listen, we've got several other callers.
Yes.
You bring up some great points, and I'm so happy you raised the jury situation again, because all of us should stop finding excuses for serving on juries, because we need to be there to be sure the law is upheld.
And it's very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say rightly so that I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. But there's some tough things there when you have to go against the grain.
It is true, and when a judge just goes right against the grain by telling you something that's false, so that he can have control. And then in his jury instructions about the law, he decides the outcome of the trial.
Yeah.
This is not right. This is tyranny.
Yeah.
And many people are going to jail fighting against that.
Yeah, I just thought maybe you might have some listeners that will also be going to jury duty, and they can be, you know, deciding a few of these things for themselves,
I think true.
Sorry, I took so much time, Jack.
That. No, but it was all important, Carol. So thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for serving. I'm proud of you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you very much for the time. Bye.
All right. God bless you. Take care. Okay, let's go to Brother Drew in Little Rock, Arkansas. Brother Drew, how are you tonight?
Fine, sir.
Good.
God bless you. Carol's right on point, believe it or not.
She is. That's
and,
right.
And she has no fear about going to jail for what she did, because all she needs to do is go back to the 1600s, around 1665, and look at the 12 jurors that stood up for the tyranny of the king and against William Penn, and went to jail for truth and justice because of the judges wanting the jurors to find him guilty, and they wouldn't find him guilty.
That's right, in the Zanger trial case, too.
And the Zanger trial case is another one. Now, the reason I called is, yes, the judge here in this town has asked me to come to court to be on jury duty, and as soon as I walked in, the prosecutor, who knows me very well, who has fought me in tooth and nail all the way to the Supreme Court on six occasions and lost on all of them but one. Of course, the one that I did lose in the Supreme Court, she wasn't involved, or none of the prosecuting office wasn't. But she calmly walked over to me and said, Mr. Raines, what are you doing here? And I said, I've got a notice. She said, either come here or I'm found in contempt. And she said, give me that thing. Get out of here. I said, well, I'm going to sit here until the judge tells me to go. He says, well, as soon as he sees you, he'll tell you to go. I said, well, you can have the piece of paper, but I'm not leaving until the judge
tells
me.
Well, that's what they do to me, too, brother, when they see me coming,
The judge stood up in the courtroom, and he said, Mr. Raines, you are one of those fair citizens out there that knows more about the law than most people that come in this courtroom that practice it.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, with that said, I would appreciate it if you, with your knowledge, you are excused from jury duty.
Well, you know, that's unfair, isn't it, brother?
Yes, sir. And the other comment
it's your right to serve.
Yes, sir. It's my right to serve, but I went down there and let them know that they weren't going to just shove me out the door without me saying something.
That's right. Good.
While I was there waiting, I educated a bunch of people.
Good.
Passed out 30 books on jury duty, on the rights of jury duty.
Praise the Lord, brother. Wonderful.
And that's what you got to do. You got to get out there and let them know. And people that are listening to this show, those of you in Idaho, grab these jury books. You know, they only cost $1, $2. Jack McLean's probably got some over there at the Aid of Debt camp.
That's
Let these judges know that we the people are the owners of the government, and they're our servants. And we've got that jury box. If we don't, that cartridge box is coming up fast
and
furious.
That's right, brother. Tell us about the cartridge box now that you're on here. That's the last one, and none of us want to use it, but I'll tell you, the Founding Fathers gave us those three boxes for a reason, and if the ballot box is gone and the jury box is gone, holy Toledo, what do we have left but the cartridge box?
We have nothing but cartridge boxes, and Patrick Henry and Paul Revere and several others that are lesser known signers of the Declaration of Independence stood up and said that we've got to have some rules here. Thomas Jefferson was very sad to see nothing was written in the limitation of powers of the Constitution to put limitations on the judges.
Yes.
John Jay, the first Supreme Court justice, attempted to put the limitations, but they weren't allowed to be brought forth.
Yeah.
I got one more little comment for you.
Okay. Well, we got one more guy on the.
Well, I'll let you go. God bless you. I hope that Colonel Joe's book got to you.
Okay.
Take care.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Lord bless you. That's our favorite Marine there in Little Rock, Arkansas. And when we get back, Roger, to Pennsylvania, we'll be to Pennsylvania to Roger. Hang on, brother. We'll be right back.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Okay, folks, I just found out we have three callers on the line, and we've got like 3 minutes left. So let's run to Roger in Pennsylvania real quick. I don't think we're going to get to everybody, but we'll see here. Roger, come on down here and get on the line with us.
Yes, thanks. I'm trying for a good 2 minutes worth here. I don't think your woman guest could be charged with perjury unless they change the wording even further than as she had stated it.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to quickly repeat a couple lines from Alan Stang's homepage you rattled off a few weeks back and
yes.
then suggest an improvement to that.
Yes.
As he says, speaking of the judge, you learn from his lies and do as he does. There we go. He knows very well what the law says. He knows very well why he is lying. I'm not quite sure that there may actually be an honest but ignorant judge there, possibly.
Yeah, it's been so many years they've been lying to the judges. That's true.
According to the judicial training seminars, and he says your goal is to get on the trial jury. Once aboard, you're ready to strike a constitutional blow if the defendant is on trial. And they didn't file his tax returns just so, et cetera. You exercise your legal power, and you rule on the law as well as the facts and or its application to the particular case at hand. So the media and the others ask you why you voted as you did. You say nothing. If you do, the liar on the bench will throw you into jail and grant a mistrial so the defendant can be tried all over again.
Yes.
So you just look stupid and go home. But the improvement to that, and this was from a woman from the Fully Informed Jury Association, guest on another show when I had asked about how do you solve the quandary of the voir dire screening to see if you're a fully informed juror. And she had the excellent response that you merely follow his question with a question. You're familiar with the Fully Informed Jury Association. What's that? Could you explain what that is? So you just keep following up question with question. Then the prosecuting attorney will give up because he doesn't want to risk informing the rest of the jurors.
Uh-huh. Right. Very good. Very good. I like that.
And I was hoping it's funny. I got to ask a local judge candidate similar questions, and of course there. And I thought there was a third category quickly. Not a pro se defendant, but you can actually have an attorney and still not be required to testify in your own defense where you can be cross-examined. I think it's possible, like in your closing arguments in that category. I forget, it's not pro se, but something else. You might know the name of it.
Sure.
And so you have your attorney as like an advisory capacity, and the court and the court still has to even provide that attorney for you if you can't afford one.
Right.
But now I think a judge might have a hard time shutting you down in the closing arguments from stating things that your attorney couldn't say without being disbarred. And according to Supreme Court Justice John Jay, and you directly quote and cite your reference source to the jury, that they understand that you can rule out to the facts and, as well as the law, then I think a judge...
Roger, we're totally out of time here, brother.
Yeah, once a judge shuts you down, I just figured that that would be a clear sign to the jury of what sleight of hand is being played, and that you could only do that as speaking for yourself, but not through your attorney.
Absolutely.
And God bless.
Yeah, good points. Thanks a lot, Roger. My goodness gracious, folks, this hour's gone so fast. It's such an important hour. Mike in Maryland, John in Florida. If you can, remember your questions or comments and get back to me on Monday. Sorry about we're out of time, brothers. We'll look forward to hearing from you on Monday if you can call back, okay? Okay, God bless everybody out there. Hope that you learned some things tonight. I was able to rethink some things tonight myself. And don't forget, we're here and we're working every day to try to learn more, to pass on knowledge and information to you. And God bless all of you. Have a great weekend. Good night.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.